Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings and UFC's most notorious icon, stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. Be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, for a shot to turn $1 into $257. That's right. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round. And if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Bet a little, win a lot. That simple. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $257 if McGregor wins by first-round knockout. That's code KSN for new players for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, the very early, way too early, 2021 college football rankings have been coming out, and they haven't necessarily been very kind to the Nittany Lions. So after this 2020 season where they finished 4-5, is the ranking somewhere 20-something? Is that fair for this team?
I do think it's fair. You know, I think comparing what Penn State has this year versus what they had last year at the same time, I think they're a little better positioned to be a better team. But I think, you know, it's hard for anybody who's putting rankings together. I mean, first of all, I do think it's silly that, you know, the dust had barely settled on Alabama was barely in the locker room, you know, last week before these things started coming out, because they all had them prepped and ready to go. Let's look ahead to 2021. But I think Penn State is more appropriately ranked this time around than they were last time around. And, you know, if I'm ranking them and I'm looking at maybe the upside of it, I'm thinking maybe they're in that mid to high teens range. There are a couple that I really kind of agreed with. But you can't really blame anybody for looking at 4-5 last year and looking at how miserable that start was and saying, okay, let's temper expectations, especially when you consider that Wisconsin's on the schedule for week one and Auburn's on the schedule for week three. Let's just let this play out. I think they could be good, but I want to see something first. I don't really blame people for doing that. But I do think Penn State is better positioned this year than they were last year.
Well, hindsight certainly tells you that last year they were ranked too highly. Again, that's hindsight. At the beginning of the season, I think many of us would have agreed with a top 10 ranking, and many of us predicted or thought this was a one-loss team, that Ohio State was the only team they were going to face where they were going to have less talent going into the game. And certainly if they were a one-loss team, that would have warranted a top 10 ranking. However, we now know the reality and what happened. And a lot of the disappointment, Dustin, came at on the offense and specifically at the quarterback position. There's now a new offensive coordinator going into next season. What does that mean? The new OC? And we made excuses last year about with COVID going on and no spring practice. Might they find some similar challenges in this season?
There definitely could be. And I'm really curious to see, you know, what they're permitted to do. I think last year's spring practice at that point in time was just when everybody was trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And now we're still trying to figure out what the heck is going on, you know, 9 months later. But I definitely can see them having spring practice this time around, having the opportunity of actually going through the motions of the offense, which will be a huge advantage for Yursich that Kirk Shiroka did not have. I think with or without limitations like that, there are some lessons to take away from 2020. And James Franklin is one of the best in America at learning from some of those hardships and trying to implement that for next year. He might have last year might've been a crash course to preparing for this year where, okay, everybody's less prepared, maybe us more so than our opponents, maybe us more so offensively than other teams on their defense, but let's kind of let our playmakers be playmakers and not to get too cute with it. Maybe there's adjustments that can be made based off of that. But I think they're in better position there regardless. And I do think that they'll have spring practice, which would obviously speed things up tremendously.
Here's the good news on offense. You have people like Jahan Dotson coming back. We know Parker Washington, a true freshman, came into the system, excelled. They look good at wide receiver. At tight end, despite Pat Freiermuth moving on, tight end looks to be in good hands. With Rashid Walker coming back, the offensive line looks to be in decent shape. At running back, they should get some more depth. They should be getting Noah Cain back. The two true freshmen have a year under their belt. Everything looks pretty promising on offense, but it still comes back to that quarterback position. I think with everything else, it was quarterback that was the disappointment when they went 0-5, played much better than when they won 4 in a row. What should we expect from that position, Dusty?
I think the quarterback position can benefit from playing more within their means. And I do think Yurcich has a better chance at bringing out the best in those two guys than Shiraka did. I also think that everybody on the offense can benefit from knowing what you have at wide receiver and knowing what you have at running back. At wide receiver, nobody had really established themselves in the roles that they were going to play. You were kind of hoping for the best. Jahan Dotson emerged as a legitimate number one. Parker Washington emerged pretty quickly as a legitimate number two. Having those guys back and knowing that next year helps everybody. At running back, you know, you had the whole uncertainty with Journey Brown all the way up through after the season began when he ended up medically retiring from football. And then you had Noah Cain, you know, thrust into the number one job. He got 3 touches before he was out for the year. So you had a guy in Devin Ford who was anticipating being a number 3, now having to adjust to a role as a number 1. Assuming you don't have the same disastrous health situation at running back, there will be a more clear-cut pecking order, a whole off-season, spring practice, summer training camp to adjust and get your head right for the roles that you're going to play. Then again, assuming disaster doesn't strike, you're going to play those roles. So it's going to be a more straightforward situation at a lot of the other positions besides quarterback, which I think benefits the whole offense.
Before taking a look on the defensive side, Dustin, you alluded to it earlier, this tough start to the schedule. Game 1 is Wisconsin, I believe, at Wisconsin. I believe it's game 3 that's Auburn at home, but it's still Auburn. There is some thought that the 2020 season, playing Indiana first game, lose that game, real tough game, Ohio State, all of a sudden they're 0-2, 2 early losses. That was too much for this team to recover from. Might we look at the same thing going into the 2021 schedule?
Well, I mean, there's a possibility of that. There's also the opportunity, I think, to kind of learn from last year. Last year, I think, was set up to be more of a no-win situation because you were playing a very good Indiana team that maybe the national narrative didn't know yet that they were going to be very good. And then you had, you know, these guys are all competitors and they're not admitting a loss to anybody. But then you had Ohio State, and when you lose on the road to Indiana the way that they lost, I think confidence level was bound to be very, very low that they were actually going to beat Ohio State in the first place. And now you're thinking 0-2. Now the challenge is we got to not let the season get away from us. There is some of that next year, but you know, the difference would be you're going on the road to face a team that will probably be favored in that game in Wisconsin. So maybe you're the team flying under the radar a little bit. You don't have a looming threat against, you know, the second best team in the country in Ohio State. You have a chance to catch your breath a little bit. I know Auburn's coming week 3. It's going to feel a little bit different, but I think ultimately, you know, if you do lose that opener at Wisconsin, you got to lean on the lessons from last year about headspace and whatever you got to do, but you have to be able to play clean football right away next year. And they weren't ready for that last year.
Dustin, let's, in the couple minutes we have left, we talked about the offense, we talked about the schedule. On defense, it looks like the linebackers, the DBs, most of them are back. Where the changes are going to be is up front, where we're actually going to have guys from the transfer portal playing a major part. How's that going to look?
I mean, it's a little risky, I think. I like what they have in a rotation at defensive tackle. I'm not sure. You know, you're looking at Adisa Isaac, and you know, maybe you get a salvage kind of year from a guy like Nick Tarburton. Maybe one of the freshmen emerges, you know, or a redshirt freshman emerges, like a, you know, a Mustella or a Smith Vilbert. You know, those guys are physically probably capable of doing that. Maybe, you know, the kid from Temple, Arnold Ibikiti, maybe he's the guy at one of those spots. But you do have some moving pieces. You don't have much of a sure thing at the end spots. You don't have much of a sure thing beyond like PJ Mustafer and maybe Fred Hansard at the tackle spots. So you very much need in your front four guys to play roles that they've never played before. That worked out okay for the wide receivers last year. And I think it'll work out okay at the tackle spots and maybe at defensive end. At safety, it's huge having Jaquan Brisker back. It settles one of those starting jobs and maybe allows the rotation to flesh out without needing a whole lot of urgency about it. So I think there'll be, I don't know. I mean, personnel wise, I think they were a little stronger this time last year on the defensive side.
You would think what they had coming in, especially at defensive end, going into 2020 season, experience, high level of talent. This year, it appears that they're counting on transfers, and they're not transfers from Alabama and Clemson. They're transfers from Temple and Duke. Is it fair to expect those guys to step right in? What are the challenges at that position for someone to just step right in and take starter responsibilities?
Well, I mean, you're going to be seeing tougher teams on a week in, week out basis. I mean, that's for starters. I think the experience playing at the FBS level is huge. I don't know that you can expect those guys to come in and dominate at like they might have done at times at Duke and Temple, especially Ibikiti. I'm curious to see how his skill set translates now. But you're at the very least, I think, going to get really quality reps from those guys. I think you have to keep expectations and say, you know what, I think we got to count on filling key jobs with players that we already have, and let's hope for the best for these guys. But I don't know that it benefits anybody to need a transfer defensive end to get double-digit sacks for your defense to work. I think hopefully that Ibikiti turns out to be a gem, but I don't think you can assume anything. And I think that's the mentality the coaches will have.
I don't believe you could expect star status, like you said, double-digit sacks. Remember, Jason Oway had a total of 0 sacks last year. So I think we need someone to step in and give you at least average starter performances. All right, that is it for quarter number 2. Stick around. Quarter number 3, we'll take a deeper look at the safety position.
UFC's most notorious icon is back. Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on McGregor to win by knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.